Can AI save our planet? And is it a groundbreaking innovation or an environmental burden? Welcome back to the IMD Podcast Network. Today, we're bringing you an episode of Mike and Amit Talk Tech, in which our two long-running hosts, Mike Wade and Amit Joshi, discuss AI and sustainability with Julia Binder, IMD's Professor of Sustainable Innovation and Business Transformation. We're diving into the complex world where artificial intelligence meets sustainability, uncovering both the promises and the pitfalls of this technology, from optimizing energy to predicting climate trends.
All right, hello and welcome to a brand new season of Mike and Amit Talk Tech. And this season, we're going to break with protocol. Because instead of just having the two of us talk about what's going on in tech, we are going to bring in guests. And the reason we're doing that is because we, Mike and Amit, wrote a book. And that book is called GAIN, Demystifying Gen AI for Office and Home. As a part of this book, we asked a group of expert collaborators to contribute an article. And so we're going to be interviewing a number of these contributors around their areas of expertise linked to generative AI. And first on the agenda is our colleague, Julia Binder, who's a faculty member here at IMD along with us. And she is an expert on sustainability. And so that's the focus of today's session. Amit, let me hand it over to you to say hello and maybe kick it off with the first question to Julia.
Absolutely. So first of all, a very, very warm welcome, Julia. Thank you so much for taking your time, not only to come to our podcast, but to write such an amazing article for our book. By the way, our book is available on Amazon, on Kindle, or where you may find, or whatever might be your favorite place to get books from.
Shameless plug.
Hey, don't stop me. I'm on a roll. We just won the Champions Trophy in cricket, so life is good for me, right? So I'm happy to make these shameless plugs, right? Not only, again, Julia, again, not just to appear on the podcast, but to write a really, really awesome article in our book on your area of expertise, as Mike said, which is around sustainability. So could you kick it off by first summarizing your key thoughts? I mean, what were some of the key things that you mentioned in this particular article? Where are you coming from? I mean, broadly speaking, how do you see the impact of AI, generative AI, on sustainability?
We have been talking about digital sustainability quite a while back, right? So this is fundamentally new for us. We have been writing this article, I think it's about 2 years. We have been talking about this for 4 years.
Yes.
But AI has somewhat accelerated also that conversation quite significantly. Now, I think when we talk about this intersection of AI and sustainability, maybe a couple of things to note before we deep dive. And the first thing is, I think there is currently, these are the two transformation accelerators across all businesses, right? So we see a backlash in sustainability. AI, you're clearly ahead currently. So I think you guys are clearly more busy at the moment with businesses running to you and saying this, the house is on fire. Although I believe respectfully that sustainability, really the house is on fire, but we're not putting as much attention, unfortunately, at the moment. But to really look at the intersection, I think what is super interesting when we look at the intersection is that it's really a double-edged sword. On the one hand, clearly, there is a massive sustainability concern when we look at AI, right? There are massive threats, massive risks. When we look at the energy consumption, the rare metals that are used for these chips and how this is kind of, I mean, I've read this article how for Google and Microsoft, they had to actually go back to coal because they couldn't satisfy their energy demand, right? They're so far from meeting their energy targets. But I mean, good, energy targets are so 2020 anyway. But they're so far out now that I think this is clearly a massive concern. And then if we now change the perspective, and I think the one that I'm clearly more excited about while acknowledging the massive impact is, I think, the potential for AI to help us accelerate the sustainable transformation. And I think that is what makes this intersection so interesting, because it has both. It has massive concerns and it has a massive opportunity. Depending on who you talk to, they will highlight one or the other. I think it's important that we understand it has both, and it really depends on how we approach this topic, whether we see it more as a risk or an opportunity.
So what do you see as the good news? Let's start with the good news first, right? Always good news is always a nice thing to have in today's world. So what are the positives, Julia? I mean, how can AI help the whole, you know, the push towards sustainability? How can it drive it forward? What are your thoughts on this?
So I think, as with many things, there are some quick wins, right? There are some very low-hanging fruits. And these low-hanging fruits that I see is, we've talked a lot about sustainability reporting. And this is that how overwhelmed companies are with that. And we clearly see that there is a massive potential for AI to ease this whole process. Now, same time that we're talking, we have the omnibus, so reporting will become less of a concern going forward, most likely. But I think there is clearly something on how can we make sustainable reporting smarter, not harder, right? So there's something here. And how do we, and maybe this is taking it a step further, how can we then turn this data and oftentimes mental overload into strategic insight and foresight, which I think is a massive, interesting potential. Because at the moment where most companies are is we collect data, we report, we focus a lot of attention, we have entire teams working on that. But do we actually use it for strategic insight? No, because it's overwhelming. I don't even know where to start and look at this data. And I think this is where AI can really change that and really make this an ally in our fight for improving all kinds of business consideration. And then maybe also I think another quick win is the nudges for consumption and sustainable consumer behavior. I think there is something on, we always wanted to direct people more towards sustainable consumption choices. But again, with the mass of things out there, there are some companies like IKEA, they test now these AI-enabled kind of devices to say, how can we direct you more towards sustainable choices on base of your preferences? And I think something like this, like these AI nudges, all of these for me are quick wins, right? So this is, let's say, the low-hanging fruit. We don't need to change the rules of the game for that, but there is clearly some potential.
Okay, so if we look at the reporting challenge, I mean, it you know, a lot of organizations complain that, you know, they have big sustainability teams and most of the time it's just taken reporting. Are you suggesting that AI can reduce that burden to allow more time on actually doing good, actually benefiting the planet rather than just, you know, collecting and reporting numbers on that?
Exactly. And I think really this is the first step, making it easier, spending time better and more wisely. But I think even more importantly, it's very fragmented and noisy data at the moment, right? So we get a lot of data. If you think about scope 3 data, how do you make sense of this? This is so complex. There's such a mess of data that even if you're a very smart person in the sustainability department, it's very difficult to really then make sense of this. And I think cutting through the noise is something where I see AI playing a massive role. I mean, we see that again across business, but when we talk sustainability, the problem is oftentimes the sheer complexity of sustainability, right? And this is the sheer complexity of sustainability, the sheer complexity of the massive data. Taking that together is where many are just lost. And it has become simply a tick-the-box exercise. And again, I think this is just not, if we're now moving towards having this data, how can we really make some smart decisions on basis of that data is, I think, where we want to go.
And there are some examples of that happening that you can point to?
Slowly, right? So I think most companies are still trying to make sense of it. And this is maybe one of the shortcomings that I see is that I wouldn't say, and for my sustainability peers, forgive me if I say that, but I wouldn't say that sustainability have been early adopters of AI or digital, right? So I think this is still, they have used it as good as they can, but it's oftentimes there's also a lack internally that those that are working on AI not necessarily work on sustainability. And oftentimes we may not be well equipped enough to really use it for these kind of purposes. There are, of course, a number of companies that have started to experiment, but I wouldn't be able to pinpoint those that really make strikes in this right now.
Yeah, so what you're basically saying, Julia, is that we manage what we measure, right? And so far, exactly. We've just been really poor at measuring this because it's so complex. The definitions are so different across maybe companies and individuals, etc. And that is a tremendous opportunity to even take this massive first step using AI and affiliated technologies,
yeah.
Right?
It's spot on, yeah.
Makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I could you talk to us a little bit about driving circularity and how AI can help us to manage, you know, products from end to end?
Yeah, and I think this is when you've asked me what excites me, then I just said these are the quick wins, right? But I think where we eventually want to go is how can AI then really help us to accelerate on sustainability? And I think this is where we oftentimes, when we look at sustainable innovations, we have been focusing very much on a niche, which is nice. But again, how do we really affect then the system and system level changes when we only address the niche? And I think this is where there's such a massive potential for AI to help scale sustainable innovation. And how do we accelerate these breakthrough solutions? How do we accelerate circularity. And I think one of the interesting things here is that when you talk to experts around circular economy, and maybe just to get us on the same level, the idea of the circular economy is that how do we stop wasting and just thinking in linear economies where we basically take, make, waste, right? And we are not attaching any value to these materials and products, to an economy where we try to circulate these resources, basically acknowledging that we're living on a resource finite planet. And increasingly, we see the finite, right? So increasingly, by the way, this is not just a sustainability consideration, but also geopolitical tensions, where it's getting just much, much harder to access certain resources. So being smarter about this becomes extremely, it becomes almost like a condition to future-proof your business, right? To de-risk your supply chains. So core strategic business decisions. This is not about moral responsibility. This is, will your business still be able to produce tomorrow, right? I think we need to also be very clear about that. And here, I think, again, the hypothetical promise of the circular economy has been around for a while. We've been talking about this for 25, 30 years at least, but it has been super difficult to act upon this. And I think this is where we know that AI plays such a crucial role as an enabler to understand what is even happening in my value chain, right? So again, when we talk circularity, we're not talking single company perspective anymore. We talk value chain or even system perspective. Super difficult. How do we get fragmented, isolated players together? AI plays a key role. How do we track materials throughout the life cycle of the product? AI plays an impressive role. How do we design differently, right? This is a super important one. What do you think? How many percent of a product's environmental footprint are determined at the design stage?
Very low.
Yeah, I would say 10%.
It's 80%. 80% of the decisions you take at the design stage will affect the environmental footprint of the product, right? So really, design is the key enabler. And yet, designers rarely trained, rarely incentivized to really consider eco-conscious considerations.
We are answering that question based on what it is today, the situation that is today. And everything you describe, I mean, it sounds great, but it sounds complex and it sounds expensive. And it sounds expensive. One of the criticisms is that if we want to do all these great things, which are going to be beneficial to the planet, are customers going to pay for all this stuff? So, you know, to take the other side of the argument for a minute, you know, we'd love to do this, but you know, we're resource constrained and we're in a highly competitive environment. What do you say to people who want to do a good thing but are just don't feel that they have the reality that they can actually do it?
I think they're not thinking about sustainability integrative, meaning that they still think that you do business and then you do sustainability at the site. And then it becomes a cost, because if I, let's say, invest in offsetting my carbon emissions, then of course it's a cost. It's a pure cost driver. If I really think about only that I need to pay an additional price and I charge a price premium, it may not fly. It may be just a cost. I think you need to think this much more integrative. This starts by understanding, where do you have the biggest pain points? Where do you have, let's say, potential to reduce materials, right? So the dematerialization. And then it doesn't become a cost driver. It actually becomes quite the opposite. You can reduce costs. Oftentimes, where you have optimization, you have cost reductions. Where you have efficiency gains, you have cost reductions. You may see diversification potential. You may see tapping into new markets. When we talk, for instance, circularity, we always say, this is the only way that allows us to reconcile economic growth and resource and environmental footprints, right? Because this is where we can dematerialize. The idea here is that you can still have economic growth, that you can still have business, but you do so by lowering the footprint of these products. And I think this is, again, where AI comes in, helping us to understand, how do we design differently, right? How do we make better design choices? How do we dematerialize? There are interesting examples on, let's say, Siemens and an AI-enabled digital twin that can reduce the sheer amount of materials in certain devices by 80%, right? And this, then it doesn't become a cost driver. It's just very good business. And I think this is where, if people tell me that sustainability is a pure cost, I don't think they're looking at sustainability as something as integrated to the core business. They're still seeing, let's do business as usual and let's plant some trees, let's do something outside. And yes, then it becomes a pure cost. I do strongly believe that we can reconcile this. And I think looking at all the business opportunities and future market opportunities, a lot of these are sustainability markets, right? So think about the biggest systems we have: energy, mobility, housing, food. the big market opportunities you have there are all sustainability related. Precision agriculture, vertical farming, new mobility system, renewable energy grid systems, new mobility systems. This is all sustainability related. And again, it's market opportunities. It's not that we're talking about do this just for the sake of doing good. You do that because you want to capture market opportunities.
But Julia, are you also concerned? I mean, and this is the flip side of the argument, obviously, that AI is actually going to be a distraction, right? I mean, it's going to suck away resources, that it's going to distract people. And as you said, the technology itself today is incredibly unsustainable, right? It's incredibly dirty. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, clearly, we already see it, right? This is what I said at the beginning. At the moment, businesses, and this is what also a recent study by Bain showed, which compared literally across different data sets and said, we're really seeing a massive backlash. CEOs' attention is so far away from sustainability as it hasn't been for the last 5 years. Because we see inflation, we see Trump and geopolitical conflicts, right? We see AI. Sustainability right now is a nice to have. It's really not a must-win battle for them, per se. Now, I'm a very patient person. I know that my topic comes in waves and goes in waves. So I think the thing is, it just requires one or two natural disasters and we will be on top of the list again. It just requires some massive resource disruption and we will be on top of the list again. I think it's always difficult. That's what I always find, to sustain a sense of urgency over time. And I think this is one of the problems we have in sustainability. We try to appeal to a sense of urgency and uphold a sense of urgency. And we're getting tired. I mean, all of us, right? So we cannot uphold a sense of urgency for indefinite. And I think this is where we're still lacking compelling and intriguing sustainability vision. What's cool about this? What excites us about this, right? So this is what I always try to say, yeah, sustainability is a risk. Check the box. We know that. But it's also a massive opportunity. I would like to excite business leaders about this and say it's almost like I want to create fear of missing out. If we're not jumping on this wagon now, actually, we are the ones that will be left behind, right? Paul Polman said, the green train has left the station. And I think you want to be part of that because otherwise you're not making money in the future. Now, the problem is that very few CEOs think 5 years and longer ahead of time, not because they're not interested in that, but because they have so much on their plate right now. And all their KPIs are related to, hey, make good business right now. And against a lot of problems that we're currently seeing, I think, in a very volatile and difficult market environment. But again, I think I'm patient. It will come back. I know that. But I also see that we have a lot of companies that are very much staying course because they see, again, they have invested in this. Otherwise, they have stranded assets. They have seen that as a strategic opportunity. They're staying course. They're not just going back and forth, even though the conversation may have faded away. And now to your second point with respect to the negative impact of AI. I mean, it certainly is. And then we see, I mean, technologies like the DeepSeek, where we assume it will require much less resources, where we assume it will require much less energy. Amit, I see you shaking your head. You're not believing it. I see that there are also divided opinions on that. But I think we're not seeing the latest innovation right now. And I think we will see some efficiency gains. We will see that. It may not, and this is something where I also talked to some other experts that say, of course, the training of these models costs a lot of energy. As soon as we're then basically really running them, the energy is also lower. So for me here, I'm a bit more in the wait and see, well knowing that currently it has a massive impact on our energy transition, right? So I want to acknowledge that. I don't want to downplay that. I do believe that what we're currently seeing is there will be some efficiency gains. I don't think that it will be as energy hungry. We haven't really invested enough in building up these systems.
And unfortunately, you know, we haven't learned from our mistakes of the past. I mean, blockchain was not designed to be kind to the environment. I don't think there was a single person with a sustainability voice in the development of that technology. And it became very difficult, you know, after a few years of this technology to shift from a proof of work to a proof of stake. But we made the same mistake again with generative AI. I don't think there's anybody really taking the voice of the planet when that technology was designed in the way it is, you know, firing hundreds of millions of neurons every time you do a prompt. But on that, Julia, do you see any potential, you know, game changers about reducing the direct impact of AI and particularly generative AI on the planet?
To be honest, I haven't seen game-changing innovations with that respect. I think the best that I could come up with is literally DeepSeek, which requires just currently less energy. But there, it's not that, again, as you say, right? I think what is one of the problems is that what you just hinted towards, Mike, we tend to have engineers in this conversation. We tend to have IT geeks in the conversation. They're not there to see how do we, and it's not a KPI. It's about how do we improve on speed and performance and cut costs. These are the three. It's not how do we bring down energy usage. It's more like energy is unlimited. We take that as a given, and now we design the game. So I think going forward, and also for businesses, I think the big challenge is how do we break down the silos between digital and sustainability? How do we also set up internally and govern this much differently, right? So how do we bring together the CTO or the CAIO? I learned that from you, I think, Mike, the CAIO and the Chief Sustainability Officer, that they actually really get together and understand also the potential inside the business and the risks, right? So I think we're not set up for that. And maybe both topics are so complex on their own that it's difficult then to expect also to say, how do we reconcile that? I think this is maybe something where AI can help us to reduce the complexity again.
Yeah. So last question from my end, Julia. With regards to sustainability and the impact that AI will have and vice versa, are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? How do you see the future?
Look, in general, if I would be a pessimist, I should not do this job. I would have serious mental health problems. So let me say that I'm much more on the optimistic side of things. Also, because I think there's just no option B. So I do believe, and this is with a lot of the sustainability debate in general, I think unfortunately, we will get a lot of things wrong until we will get them right. This is what we currently see as well. We oftentimes need to screw up more than we should before we really start getting our act together. But I think as a human species enabled by AI, we do have a lot of potential and creativity and solutions that are already there. And if we deploy them correctly and if we deploy them for the right causes to address our problems, to meet our targets, right? So I'm much more positive that eventually we'll find a way to really see these two instead of separate and siloed as something that we need to see, as the EU Commission says, the twin transformation, something that we need to think and act together. And if we manage that, then I think really AI can be our best friend. Until then, I think, again, we're very short-sighted, but this is independent of AI. This is where our sustainability problems come from. Our economic framework is not fit for purpose, but I'm still an optimist that eventually we'll get our act together. Otherwise, I think I don't want to think so much about the alternative.
And maybe my final question on that note of optimism, talk to us about how precision farming at scale can combine both sustainability and the power of AI.
I mentioned a couple of big systems. When we think about big sustainability impacts, energy, mobility, food, you mentioned agriculture, right? And housing. And I think if we look at these account for the biggest impact we have when it comes to sustainability. In all of these now, AI plays a key role because these are so complex, fragmented industries and systems. If we want to change them, we need much more insight. We need much more integration, and AI can play a big role. And if you hint towards, let's say, food and precision agriculture, I think this is about how do we have, for instance, AI enabling precision irrigation, soil health tracking, smart pest control. Nobody talks about the nitrogen and phosphorus, all the pesticides, right? Where we basically deplete the soil, we are unable to grow food. With precision agriculture, and again, I think what is so nice about this, we're talking about it reduces cost, it future-proofs your business, it doesn't go on cost of your yield, it just makes it much more smarter. And I think, again, here, these are the kind of solutions we would be looking for. And precision agriculture is such a smart one. Again, what is holding us back, we need to invest first and then we'll see the outcome. But I think more and more farmers, more and more big conglomerates are looking in that direction. It's just really not that. It's think about also biodiversity conservation and biodiversity restoration. AI can help. I mentioned circularity, energy. We talked a lot about grid volatility. Here, AI can help to integrate renewables, mobility. How can we make it convenient to share stuff, right? So across systems, we have almost all the solutions. At the moment, they're oftentimes either not price competitive enough or not convenient enough, or they require too many investments. On all of these bottlenecks, actually AI might be able to help. And this is what makes me positive that the intersection can actually at the end play out in favor for all of us.
All right, folks, Julia, that was absolutely incredible. For folks who were either not knowledgeable enough about sustainability or were not clear about the link between AI and sustainability, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for your wonderful contribution to our book, Gain. Folks, this is Mike and Amit Talk Tech. We welcome you back to our next episode where we will have more guests who have written in our book. If you would like to know more about this podcast or about IMD, please visit imd.org. Once again, thank you very much, Julia. See you next time.
That's all for this week. This podcast was proudly brought to you by the International Institute for Management Development in Lausanne. You can find out more at imd.org.